Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. This is your chance to see a little bit of behind-the-scenes work of what goes on here at Eastern Mennonite University in the athletic department. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics, and let me first of all apologize for not having a podcast up last week. The scene really got busy around here on campus. We had one of our rental groups in that had over 900 people, and I still haven't figured out how that happens because we don't have 900 beds. But anyway, we'll discuss that at another point. But we were really swamped with people here, and my schedule was tight as well. So for those of you that tuned in and had to listen to the one from before, I apologize. We're ready to get up and rolling here again as we start to get ready for the fall season. One of the things that happens is people ask me a lot is whether this is a slower time for my schedule, and I said actually it really isn't. July is supposed to be a little bit more because as we wind things down in June, all staff evaluations are done. We try to end the year strong and financially, and so we begin to work at that. But then it turns right around, and with our student athletes coming in August 19th and with me needing to start having staff meetings in early August, July doesn't get much of a break that way either. So it does remain extremely busy here. I will say that one of the features of our office these last couple of weeks has been that our two new coaches, Ben Spotts in baseball and Jeff Tyson in women's volleyball, are about the only ones working these days. So I don't know whether it's the new kids on the block that want to make sure they impress the AD who's sitting here in his office or not. But anyway, I apologize for missing last week, but we're back onto a schedule. We'll be on every week with a podcast. There's two areas that probably, for those of you local, you might want me to respond to the article that appeared in the Daily News Record about the small amount of money that we spend on the budget and the possibility of spending more and increasing support for athletics, but I'm not going to take care of that one today. And those of you from anywhere else listening might want to know about my response to the NCAA sanctions against Penn State and all of that. And I haven't digested it enough, and what I say might be too off the cuff, just as my thinking that maybe Mark Emmert, president of the NCAA, may have done things a little bit too much off the cuff too. So maybe that's already let the horse out of the barn in terms of where I stand on it. but I am very interested in looking at that from the standpoint of the politics of the NCAA and what they're trying to say. So I do have some thoughts about that as it would relate to the role that athletics plays within academics, and we'll get into that another time. So that's not for this week. We'll address those later. This week I want to take the opportunity to introduce you to our new baseball coach, Ben Spotts. I gave you a little bit of his background a couple of weeks ago, but I've asked him to join us today, and I want to find out a little bit more about him and about what he sees as a future for the baseball program. So, Ben, welcome to the podcast and, of course, to EMU. And I'd like to begin, first of all, by reminding folks that you spent the last 14 or so years at Bridgewater College, both as a player and then as an assistant coach, moving right into that after graduating. And one of the things that I mentioned before in terms of what you brought to the program was coming from a winning program. So you played for and coached with Kurt Kendall, a good friend of mine, who is probably one of the most successful Division III baseball coaches around. So I'd like to begin there without telling Kurt's secrets. If Ben, maybe you could give us a little bit about what were two or three of the secrets of Kurt's success and the success of the baseball program there at Bridgewater College, which may lead us then to the questions about how you're going to do it here.
Well, Dave, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here speaking today. And I will say this, that I was very fortunate in my time with Kurt, coaching him for 14 years and playing for him for 4 years. So I had 18 years of time at Bridgewater College that I learned a lot from him and what he did. And the first thing that he allowed me to do was to coach. I know a lot of times head coaches get assistant coaches and they kind of micromanage them. And Kurt was very upfront in the fact that, hey, I want you to do these things, and really gave me free rein in a lot of things in my time there, whether it was from recruiting to let me handle hitters how I wanted to handle them and so forth. And really, we were always on the same page, but he let me do a lot of those things, which is a lot of the experience that I've received over that time, which is, obviously, I think, paid off as I'm ready to take on a program myself and move in the right direction. One of the things I've told the current players that are on the roster that when I've called him and talked to him this summer as this transition's taken place, was that the success of Bridgewater we had every year was not rocket science. I've always told these guys, and I've always felt like the guys at Bridgewater, is that you have a consistent message. And I thought Kurt has been there a long time and had a lot of success. So he had a consistent message every year and a constant theme that was going on. So people knew where he stood and where the program stood. The other thing to that, too, is you find players in the recruiting process who buy into that message and are coachable. And we found that at Bridgewater, and that was successful. The guys we had wanted to be coached, wanted to be made better. And then, you know, on top of that, you work extremely hard. And it's really a simple process in that sense. Probably the biggest thing for right now is just trying to find guys that fit that mold moving forward. And I think that's the success we had at Bridgewater.
One of the things, Ben, that some of the listeners have heard me talk about some of my concerns about what has occurred within the youth sports program and some of the showcase stuff that's going on in baseball and the way to travel. Did you find kids to be coachable? You sort of seem to allude to that. And one of the things that I've been very concerned about is the entitlement aspects that comes from some of these kids who have been going to all these showcases and all these specialty camps and paying a lot of money, et cetera, and everything else, and they believe they've already reached it. And they've been the star of their high school program. They've been the starter at first base for 3 years. They've led the league in this or that or the other thing. And they're not always ready to start over. And they are not quite sure the jump is there. Make a comment or two about what you've found over the last 14 years about the coachability of kids.
Well, the recruiting aspect has changed in the sense that there is more travel ball out there now, and people play it or expected to play it. And even though I'm not a big proponent of travel ball, that's where the players are. So you have to go watch them and see them and stuff. So you are right. There is that sense of entitlement and that sense of, if I did not play on one team, then my dad would start another team, and I'd go play on that team. I mean, that happens out there. And I think what's kind of lost in that sense, and even I've seen this over the years, is that sense of patience from players, from the willingness to know, like you were years ago on a high school team when you were a freshman or sophomore, a lot of times you had to sit and wait your time until you were a junior or senior. And sometimes the players are a little more anxious and don't handle that as well. But, you know, I do think that being upfront and honest with players in the process, and they know where they stand, while they may not agree with it, they understand where they're sitting on the team is one way to help head off some of that. You know, but I think the other piece of that puzzle is in the recruiting piece, is just trying to identify through the family and spending enough time not only evaluating the player but also on campus visits, and just getting a better feel for them as a person. You start to understand, you know, their makeup a little bit and if they are coachable and how that process will handle here on campus. And it's, you know, I'll be honest with you, in the success we had at Bridgewater, we lost a lot of good players to other schools. Mm-hmm. But I always felt like if you look at the players we had, that sometimes we made those players better than those other players we lost because we coached them up and they bought in what we were doing. And it just takes some time. And believe me, I had plenty of guys that came in that didn't quite buy into it right away. It took some time. Mm. But they eventually figured it out, and we got on the same page. And in the end, it was a rewarding experience at the end of 4 years. I've had more than one or two guys graduate, and for me to look back and say to them, hey, you know what, we butted heads early on. Mm. But I will tell you this, I respect you and the changes you made and how we got on the same page. And some of those guys have been to their weddings and have told them I'll do anything for them if they need it. So it's part of the maturing process and this stuff, and it's really one of the rewarding experiences about this. So.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the recruiting process. One of the questions that has come to me, and I think one of the things that you indicated in our conversations that attracted you to this position, was the commitment, even though we might be at the bottom of the barrel in terms of spending and you're finding out a little bit more about what our facilities are like and a few things like that, was the commitment to turn the program around and make it competitive year after year in the ODAC. And so the questions have always come to me, how do you do that? And I did that with alumni, and I went, how do you do it? Is there enough local talent to do it? So first of all, maybe you want to just, and I'm assuming that your response will be largely what you learned at Bridgewater, but maybe you want to respond first of all to what do you see are the key elements to, and when I say turn the program around, I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody in the past who was part of the program, but simply how do we continue to move it in the direction to be competitive year in and year out? Because I've been told that it can be done. and certainly we've seen that in the ODAC. So what are some of your ingredients that you need to put into how do we take this program up to the next level to be competitive in the ODAC in and out basis?
Well, I think the first thing, and this is something that I'm very grateful of to you, Dave, and the administration at Eastern Mennonite, was make this a full-time position, a position that allows me the opportunity to be on campus every day, to interact not only with the current players, but to be here when recruits make visits, and to be able to get out in the summertime and recruit players. I think that's the biggest thing, because I think so much of that takes place in just not only identifying good players, but actually being with them every day on campus, even year-round, to help develop those relationships and that support system. So I think that's the first step that's been made here that is, I think, we'll see immediate differences just as far as the day-to-day operations of the program. The second thing, obviously, is the recruiting piece of it. And I know for myself, being from the Valley, I've spent a majority of my life in the Valley, and I think it's a special place. And I've always felt from afar that this program could take the right steps. And this has been the Valley is a baseball area, mm-hmm. and people have to realize that from the high school to the Valley League to the County League to the local colleges and the success that some of those schools have had. For some reason, people love baseball here, and I think there's a certain draw to it in this area. And I know in our discussions in the process here, going through the interview, is that we kept like, this is a program we need to get over the hump. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one that can be done. It'll take some time, but obviously I think from a recruiting standpoint, you got to focus on the local area. I think there's enough mm-hmm. talent here to build a firm foundation. Now, is there enough here to carry a 30-man roster? No. But there's enough local talent here to really get this program going in the right direction, because I do think a lot of the players in the area here are hard-nosed, blue-collar type players that you can really build upon. That hard work foundation you need to have for a program. So I think obviously first of all is to recruit the local area hard, and I'm sure I've had to have battles with Bridgewater College now over some of those local kids, because in the past I always felt like if there was a local kid that I wanted that was a Division III player, I could get. And I think now that's still the same mindset I have with local players. I think that's the goal, is to recruit the local kids who are looking maybe for a chance to stay close to home, a chance to get a good education, the chance for their parents to see them play on a regular basis. And I think that's a selling point we have here as we try to move this thing forward. So obviously, I think it's a strong area, and it's one that we can hopefully add a lot of success to for local baseball fans to want to come watch.
Sure. Maybe you want to talk just a little bit more about the recruiting process. Just give us a little rundown of a typical process. You sort of seem to indicate that you might identify them through a travel ball or a showcase. What's the follow-up work then? I mean, clearly, you need to recruit a good number. It's not quite like basketball. So you need to recruit a good number every year. Campus visits, you certainly know that, you might start with, you got to have, 12 or 17 for every one that you end up getting. And so that's a lot of numbers you've got to do. So where do you identify them? And then talk a little bit about how you think you're going to follow up. Is it personal visits to the home? Is it on campus? Is it emails, texts, all of that kind of stuff? Give us a little about process as you see it, because you certainly have done it for years at Bridgewater, and I'm assuming you'll do it much the same here.
Well, right now we're in that phase where it's that time of year to be out on the road, and I'm heading tomorrow to Best Virginia camp I've been to for years. It's held at Hampton City College, and then next weekend I'll be at the Keystone State Games in Pennsylvania, and I'll be at the workout in Maryland. So there's a lot going on right now in the summertime, and then, before you know it, you're in your second week of August, and the fall showcases start, and they carry through September and October. So it's that time of year right now where you've got to be out seeing players and evaluating, and that's kind of the goal right now, is to get out and see as many as we can with the travel ball and different camps and showcase events that are going on. So we're in that phase right now. Obviously, the goal, once we identify those players, and let me just go back and say, obviously, I want to recruit the local area is my number one priority, but also looking to extend, to around the state of Virginia, where, Northern Virginia, Richmond, Chesapeake area, because I think there's a lot of talent in those areas. But then also stretching north to, through Maryland, but particularly into Pennsylvania. I had success recruiting Pennsylvania at Bridgewater. I thought it's an opportunity to come south. I know it's a strong drawing point for Eastern Mennonite is Pennsylvania. And it's an opportunity to come south where the weather's a little better. It's still cold in January and February, but, I think the weather's a little better. And that's obviously where I plan on spending some time as well. So that's kind of the area we're going to cover. But, the goal is to see as many kids right now as we can, evaluate them, start contacting them through phone and email, the ones that I have an interest in or the ones I feel are fits for what we're trying to do here, and start that dialogue. And the goal is to see as many as we can and have as many contacts as we can to see which ones have an interest in us. And in that process, you start to feel which ones you feel like not only – fit talent-wise, but also fit, you know, the, what the school is looking for, and academically they fit, and you feel like there'd be good fits to go back to that coachable point we've talked about. And that's a process that I carry on right now. So we're seeing as many as we can, and then the goal for me is to get them on campus in the fall. With the ones I think that match up with what we're looking for. To get them on campus in the fall, hopefully watch our team work out during our fall season, you know, and try to really work hard on visits throughout the fall into December. And then that's kind of the goal right now. So it's one that I like to – I'll be honest with you, the years I've done this, I send out a lot of emails initially because that's kind of how we operate now. But if I see players I like, or, you know, I used to send a letter and go kind of go through the mail process, I just pick up the phone and call anymore. It's just easier for me to call and leave a message or call and talk to them and tell them who I am, where I'm at, why I'm liking, where I saw them at. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we fast forward that process a few weeks by just picking up the phone and calling.
Well, after my work in the high school for years, no matter who you are, a personal call from a head coach usually excites people a little bit more in that process. And so, well, one of the things that as we sort of conclude here, one of the things that is talked about, of course, is that from one standpoint here at EMU is the great indoor facilities we have, and we know that kids are looking for facilities, and we don't quite have that yet, but we've got some plans that we can go ahead and work at that. You talked about having kids on campus. Any plans, ideas you have for running camps? Is that another way to get things on? I know that we're hosting a showcase, which has been coming in here for years, and they use Bridgewater, JMU, and us, and that's really nothing that we've had a part in drawing in. But what are your plans for getting kids on campus besides the initial or the regular visits there? What are plans for camps down the road, possibilities?
Well, first of all, I mean, obviously I'm something excited I'm looking to do, and I probably feel this year will probably be too fast to get going with that. But my goal with camps, obviously, if you were to just look at next summer, is to have a local camp for young age kids, you know, that 6 to 12 age group. But I think it's important to let people in the Valley know that EMU baseball is on the scene. And I think any time to get baseball, local young baseball talent on campus to learn, I think it's a great way to expose the camp and the facility that we do have to local players. And even though it starts at age 6, 7, 8, 9, I mean, I know the years I was at Bridgewater, I remember kids that are played through college came to our camp when they were 6 and 7. So obviously I think that's a goal to extend out who we are in the community. And then moving forward, you know, college recruiting is going a lot of way with going a lot to camps and prospect type camps on campus, showcase camps on campus. And I think that's one of the goals I have moving forward. It's something I've done at Bridgewater in our time was successful. And I see other institutions doing it as well at all levels, Division 1, 2, and 3, is to try to run a fall camp to identify kids that and student athletes who want to come to Eastern Mennonite. Gives me a chance to work with them, teach them how we do things, meet our players, see the facilities, see the campus atmosphere. It's a great recruiting tool in the future, as well as maybe with the indoor facilities here, which I think are some of the best I've seen around. It's a chance to run some winter camps, you know, whether it's pitching, hitting camps, an infielder camp. I've always had a desire to want to run an infielder camp. And I think those are things that can be done here, particularly over the winter months when it's a little slower here. Maybe people are away from break. It's a facility that we have. It's a massive facility, and I'm impressed with it. I've been impressed in my fourth week here. The amount of people that come to this facility on a regular basis just blows my mind. I mean, maybe I call it a busy time, but there's people through here all the time. It's a great facility to have camps and so forth at.
Well, you haven't been here when school's in session either, and you wait till you try to find your time in January and February for practice, and we've got basketball, volleyball, men's volleyball, and you've got track and field, and it's growing like crazy. Ben, I want to thank you for joining us today, and certainly for joining us here at EMU, and we certainly are looking for some good things down the road. We understand it's going to be a longer process. It doesn't happen overnight, but I appreciate the work ethic that you've brought to it already and your willingness to take a program that certainly has some history to it, but certainly needs to be reshaped and rebuilt and taken to the next level, because we again are recognizing the value of our athletic programs for the name recognition, for the attraction of students, not just baseball players, But all students, anytime there's a positive vibe on campus, it's one of the things that helps to generate enrollment possibilities. So we are looking at that, plus just the experiences that these kids will have, and we didn't get into that. We'll do that at another time during the course of the year, trying to find out a little bit more about the baseball player as a player and what attracts them to the game, and recognizing that you're going to carry a roster of 30, or 32 or something, and certainly you can't play that many, and you need a lot of arms. I understand that. So there's a lot of direction we could have gone. We try to keep this a little bit limited, so we'll have you back again. Thanks for joining us this week, and we hope that you will listen again next week as I come back with another podcast, and we'll be on a weekly basis as things are gearing up for the fall season. I want to thank you for joining us, and until we talk again next week, I invite you to make it a great week.